wow, what is Jesus going to show us now? After all, the disciples had seen Jesus do many glorious things, right? They had seen him perform miracles. They had seen him silence the waves and the wind. They had seen him walking on water. They had seen him feed the thousands, healing the blind, healing the lame, raising the dead. And Jesus says, now the hour has come, that now he's going to be glorified. What greater thing is Jesus going to do to show his people that he is glorious? Jesus is revealing that his glory is found in his suffering and death. That is, the glory of Jesus is when he lays aside all of his divine glory and power, and he completely humbles and lowers himself, and he's lifted up on the cross. That is the glory of God.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country. March 18th, 2018. Today's message is based on John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33.
Often people will tout what they have as grand or glorious to attract and draw crowds, right? Maybe someone will say, we have the largest festival of our kind. Or like maybe like the Grand Canyon or Tonto Natural Bridge. They might say it's the biggest or the longest or the largest. And cities will say they've got the longest standing and so forth. And they recognize this is how you draw in people, crowds. You get them excited and you help them to see there's something grand, there's something great here for them to see. One time I kind of was drawn into one of these things. It was a sign that said, geological marker. And so we were driving. It was somewhere along the 45th line of latitude, and we were going along the road. We thought, let's check this out, this geological marker. This has got to be interesting. And it took us down a veer of a road that took us down a gravel road for a couple miles, and we were getting excited to see what this great sight must be. And then we pulled off another side road, and it got more narrow, and then we had to walk down a long trail down some cornfields. And there was a big concrete slab with a little tiny marker on it, a little small plaque that said, you have reached the 45th parallel longitude, that is the point halfway between the equator and the North Pole. And then there was another line, I can't remember what it was, the longitude, maybe it was 45. And we looked and we thought, that's exciting. And of course we took our picture by that little tiny icon, something grand and glorious, this geological marker. But it was touted as something big. People look for something exciting and large. That's how crowds are drawn in. Well, how does God draw people into his church, his kingdom? Well, we're going to see the answer as we look at John chapter 12 this morning, and Jesus explains how God draws people to himself. A lot of people were drawn to the festival in Jerusalem. At this time, it was the Passover festival. And actually, we see crowds even came from the distant lands of the Roman Empire and the Greek-speaking world, so that even some Greeks were there in Jerusalem during the festival. And these Greeks, it turns out, were particularly interested in this year's main attraction. It was something that the city of Jerusalem had never seen before. It was the person Jesus. And so when the Greeks came and they found who they evidently had identified as one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, they came to him looking to find this great attraction. And they said, sir, we'd like to see Jesus. You can imagine that they were looking for something pretty grand when they heard about this man, Jesus. And Philip goes and tells Andrew, and they go and tell Jesus, and Jesus gets word of it. And Jesus, in return, responds by saying, now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. That is, Jesus is saying, now is going to be the greatest, grandest display that I'm going to show this world. And perhaps for a moment, the people that were listening must have been thinking, wow, what is Jesus going to show us now? After all, the disciples had seen Jesus do many glorious things, right? They had seen him perform miracles. They had seen him silence the waves and the wind. They had seen him walking on water. They had seen him feed the thousands, healing the blind, healing the lame, raising the dead. And Jesus says, now the hour has come, that now he's going to be glorified. What greater thing is Jesus going to do to show his people that he is glorious? You can imagine they were probably thinking, now he's going to show his power, his authority, and come as the Messiah. And if those Greeks were listening at this time, they too must have been excited. Jesus is going to be glorified. That's how it is when we're looking for things too, right? We want something grand and glorious. And maybe as we're looking to find a place to connect for a church home, we're looking for that place that promises it's got grand, great numbers. Or maybe that it has large healings and answered prayers. Or maybe we look for something so great and glorious that we'd say, this is where there's something fantastic and a powerful preacher. But when they were looking for something great, they said, we want to see Jesus. It's found in him that we find something glorious. And when Jesus reveals what about him that is going to be glorious, it flips the world's thinking around. See, Jesus speaks as he reveals to his disciples how he's going to be glorified. The picture he gives here, when he says, now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, he gives an illustration about how he will be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Catch what Jesus is saying about his glory? Just as a seed is nothing and remains nothing and doesn't produce anything until it is buried in the ground, Jesus is saying, I won't be glorified until first I am killed and placed in the tomb. And just as the seed, when it is placed in the ground, produces fruit and a harvest, Jesus is saying, after my burial and death, then you will see the increase of God's kingdom and my glory. Jesus is revealing that his glory is found in his suffering and death. That is, the glory of Jesus is when he lays aside all of his divine glory and power, and he completely humbles and lowers himself. And he's lifted up on the cross. That is the glory of God. It's not found in all the miracles. It's not found in the displays of power. It is found in the setting aside of every single power that he held and had, becoming fully human, walking this earth and coming to that festival. This would be the last day that Jesus would be publicly speaking in front of the crowds. Because soon he would be, as he says, lifted up from the earth on the cross. And the glory of God is found in that God himself came and suffered and died on the cross, and that all who looked and saw him despised him, rejected him. And yet that is the glory of God, that he would willingly choose to come in our place and to take the death that we deserve. And so that when we look and see Jesus on the cross, we see something glorious. We see the love and the determination and the mercy and grace of our God who has taken our price. So what does that mean for us? Jesus explains this affects his followers. He says here, the man who loves his life will lose it. Well, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In a strange paradox, if you love your life in this world, Jesus says you're going to lose everything. That is, if you love the entertainment, the pleasures, the things of this world that can pull you away from following Jesus and trusting in him, the things that can make you love them more than God, Jesus warns you will lose your life. If having family, friends, children, or whatever it might be is more important to you than Jesus, watch out. He says you'll lose it. But conversely, if you hate this world, that is, you hate the things in this world that might cause you to fall away from your God or treasure things more than your God, as you say, I'm dead to the distractions, to the temptations, to the desires, if only I can follow Jesus. Jesus says, if you hate your life in this world, you'll have and keep it for eternal life. Because following Jesus means following him who suffered. It means, for a time, setting aside the glory that is ours in Christ and saying we are willing to follow our Savior, a suffering Savior. He says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. To follow Jesus, brothers and sisters, is to follow a Savior who was glorified in suffering and who gave up his life. And we follow him, we know, because for us it's difficult. You know, who of us can say we want to give up the pleasures of this life? Who of us can say that we're ready and willing to always let go of the things that pull us away from our God? We struggle with this. But thank God our Savior did not. He says, now my heart is troubled. Jesus knew he was going to die. He says, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus came willing and determined, knowing the suffering that would follow, because he knew the harvest that would come. He understood that by his suffering and death, he would bring you and I and all this world forgiveness of sins, and that everyone who trusts in him would be brought into his kingdom, and those who look to a suffering Savior would be drawn to God. He says, if I am lifted up, and when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. How does God build his church? Through his lifted up, suffering, glorified Son, who took our place. The world sees Jesus on the cross, and those who trust and believe that that death is their death, that payment is theirs, that forgiveness is theirs, are drawn to God, drawn to his mercy and love, to a glorious and loving God who took our place. And so like that seed that was planted in the ground, Jesus, who was placed in the tomb, brings a harvest and produces fruit. Disciples like you and I who are willing, by God's working, to follow him no matter the cost, to let go of the things of this world that would pull us away from our Savior, and to say, I want to be where my Savior is, and I'm willing to let go of this world and this life for the sake of what he has in store. Father, glorify your name, Jesus says. Through his people, he now glorifies his name as you follow a suffering Savior. And as you endure pains, as you endure trials, as you endure difficulties in life, despite all that, you say, I follow Christ, who suffered for me. And I see how my God's church is built. I've been drawn to the cross, drawn to the one who died for me. Father, glorify your name in my life, and may your name be glorified always. Amen. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. But anyone who loves their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then came a voice from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of our Lord.